Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Did you know I never set out? Okay, let me rephrase it. Not only did I not set out to have a ministry with miracles, I set out to avoid that. I saw those guys get criticized. When I was going up through Bible school, that was when Benny Hinn was having his biggest meetings. They tore that guy to shreds on TV, and I thought, I'm not doing that. I want to get me a nice Billy Graham, navy blue Stafford suit coat and khaki pants and penny loafers, wear the most unoffensive thing that I can find. I'm going to preach about Jesus and heaven, and I'm going to stay out of that stuff. But what happens is, when you preach, even if you're only preaching about heaven and Jesus rising from the dead, well, now you've gotten yourself into miracles, because people don't rise from the dead. And the Bible says faith cometh by and hearing by the word of God. So as you start telling those stories, people start getting a substance the Bible calls faith that comes alive on the inside of them, and it starts almost like spider webbing to whatever they need it for. So then you'll have people like this guy. I don't think I was preaching that night on anything to do with that. Probably just on faith or something like that. And then what happened? What made him say, I thought to go get my son out of children's church? You think that's the devil? Do you think that's his brain? Or do you think that's the Holy Spirit? See, that's faith. When they heard about Jesus, they carried their friend and tore a hole through the roof. If the general manager's listening, I'm just telling a Bible story. This will not be taking place tonight. Tore a hole through the roof and lowered their friend down to be healed. And Jesus, seeing their faith. Everybody say, seeing their faith. So faith has an action. That's why I remember as he's telling that story, when I saw him get up and leave, and then come back with his son crying, you don't have to be a genius to know what happened. That guy had been doing it long enough. That guy got faith and said, well, I believe these things are true. Let's see what God will do for my son. Because I don't know if he shares it in the testimony. I'm watching it for the first time with you. This just happened. This was both last night. I was preaching in Indiana one time, and I was preaching on faith. And two women got up and stormed out of the service. I thought, well, they must not like faith or people, me in particular, they like faith, just not me. But I was wrong on both accounts. So they come back later, a few minutes later, and she's holding her son. And her son was born with his legs not slightly bent or bow-legged, like a wishbone. In fact, I've posted it on Instagram before with the x-rays. I'm talking curved out of the pelvis like this. And so they were going to break his legs and fit him with custom casts. And they were supposed to pick up the cast on Monday or Tuesday of that week. This was Sunday morning. But when I was preaching, that mother got faith. And her faith, she said, well, maybe that's true. No, she said, I'm going to go get my kid out of the nursery, and I'm bringing him in. So when I saw her reemerge holding her boy, and his legs are bent a weird way, I said, is that your son? Because obviously if she stole him out of the nursery, I'm not going to assist in the prayer. You got to call the police. Maybe I should stop watching afternoon TV because I'm suspicious all the time now. So she comes in holding the boy, and I said, is that your son? Yes. I want you to pray for him. Well, she didn't. See, there's two types of prayer. There's the kind of prayer that most people will only hear about in church, where you pray. Like if I did what I was trained to do. Is that your baby? Yeah. Okay, you can go. Yeah, that's yours. Okay, so just be sure. Because if you're going to jail, you're going by yourself. You guys laugh at prison here? Interesting. So there's the one kind of prayer, which I, in the denomination I was raised in, which was a full gospel denomination, but they didn't kind of really believe in miracles anymore. You would pray as a minister, Lord, help this woman as she goes through this. See, that's the church kind of church I was in, and I'm not going to take a show of hands. I'm not looking to embarrass pastors or anything, because some people, that's all they've heard. So they think that's what prayer is. Lord, help this lady as she goes through this hard time. Help this man as he raises this son who's having his problem. Be with him in Jesus' name. Amen. But when you start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, the point of Christianity is to be like Jesus. Anybody would agree with that. From that, you don't have to be Catholic or Protestant to agree with that. Anybody understands that Christianity is to be like Christ. That's why I've really never understood when they say, we don't believe in miracles. But those same people that tell you they don't believe in miracles tell you you're supposed to be like who? Jesus. Well, that's like telling somebody to be like Tiger Woods, but you're not allowed to pick up any golf clubs. That's like telling someone to be like LeBron James, but don't pick up a basketball. Because Jesus did not just speak. The Bible says he taught. Then he also didn't just go run around praying for everybody. We don't do this to fill time before the prayer. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amazing how some of the people that we play the testimonies, it only took, people aren't stupid. Only took them 12 minutes, 18 minutes here in the, oh, the Lord still does miracles today. That's the whole reason we play the testimonies. It's not like, wow, he's a great man of God. No, it's not for that. It's to show you we don't have to go back 40 years and play some black and white grainy film about one person that got healed. These haven't even been healing meetings. And the Lord, where the presence of the Lord is, there is healing, there is freedom, and there is victory. Practical healing, practical victory, and practical healing. Oh, sorry. Praise the Lord. Hard to tell your kid not to stand up on the chair when the preacher stands up on the chair. That's called being a bad example. And so, you know, I was probably 31 at the time. I didn't have any kind of miracles or anything. But that lady's faith, you know, sometimes you just realize what you're doing as you're doing it. Because when I started coming back in, I just didn't really care about preaching anymore. I said, did you go get your son out of the nursery because you believe the Lord's going to heal your son's legs? Yes. I said, bring him to me. And I held him. I said, in the name of Jesus. Jesus prayed differently. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Bible says, Jesus said to the disciples, he didn't say to the disciples, I did this, don't you try. He said to the disciples, have faith in God. Everybody say it out loud. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, for I assure you, I tell you the truth. You, everybody say me. You can say to the mountain. You say to the mountain, not, oh Lord. You know, they say on Christian radio, don't talk to God about your mountain. Talk to the mountain about your God. No, don't do that either. You're going to end up in a mental institution. You don't go stand up and look at a mountain and start having, now I want you to know I serve a real God. He didn't say talk to the mountain about your God. He said speak to the mountain. I could play another video. I don't want to wear the media team out because this is, I'm just flowing. There was a lady, she was from a Catholic background in New Mexico. And she had been watching stuff like this. She came and she brought her son up after. And she said, excuse me, my son has a tumor in his forearm and we got it surgically removed and then it grew back and we got that one surgically removed and now there's a new tumor and they said this is something he's going to deal with his whole life. Would you pray? See, if you want to know one key to seeing miracles in your life, pray. And pray the type of prayer Jesus said. You don't have to feel anointed. Just get in alignment. When someone asks you to pray, don't try to damper them. How many of you have ever had, you were believing for something to turn around, and it was like everybody went out of their way to tell you how it's probably not going to work out? Anybody besides me? No, you can't kill that giant. You can't part that sea. That's not going to work for you. So number one, I made up my mind, if somebody's believing God for help, they're going to have enough people to tell them they can't do it. I'm going to get in agreement with him and say, no, I believe God's going to help you like he's helped me. And when you do that, you start becoming a valuable person on the earth because people don't have a lot of encouragement. If I took a show of hands, a lot of people that are in this room right now, the way we made a connection was during the lockdowns when everybody was telling you we're going to go to 40% employment and the economy's going to permanently crash and you're going to be forced to take the you know what? I don't want to keep my YouTube channel. To work, and we're all going to go on universal basic income. The Lord had me do that show called Check the News, where I went on and explained to you factually how what they're planning to do is not going to happen. In California, and I live in Pennsylvania, they had the same law. Our governor, like your governor, announced they were going to hire 200,000 contact tracers to find anybody that tested positive for you know what, and then go take them out of the house and quarantine them. And everybody was freaking out. And I went on and the Lord gave me a simple word to tell people. I said, if the same people in charge of the DMV are in charge of doing contact tracing, they'll never find you for 18 years. For once, government inefficiency started to work in our advantage. If those people are in charge, and exactly what I said would happen, happened. All the money they set aside for contact tracers disappeared. Government's good at making money disappear. If you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, there'd be a shortage of sand in 5 years. So the money went missing. They weren't able to hire anybody. They never hired anybody. They shut the program down in Pennsylvania. They shut the program down in California. And everything the devil tried has failed. I'm going to tell you something. If you can use your faith to destroy the devil's plans for a nation, how much easier is it to take your faith and say, no, devil, you're not going to have my child. You're not going to have my marriage. You're not going to have my health. I'm going to have what God said belongs to me, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. I came to tell you tonight, whatever you're believing for, you got somebody to agree with you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Everything the devil tried to do to take your joy comes back tonight. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, they sent me the x-rays, that family from Indiana, of his legs fine. And then I reposted it because that was like 2013 or something. And I reposted it on Instagram. It popped up in my feed on the memories on Facebook. So I put it back up with the x-ray and then the new x-rays. Because when they took the boy in to get the cast on, the cast wouldn't fit. And the doctor said, this is impossible. These are measured to the millimeter and they don't fit. What happened? He answered. I pray there's people this next week that have to answer to experts and bankers and doctors. What happened? Tell me how the miracles, don't be something you believe. Miracles are visible. You're going to have a visible miracle in Jesus' mighty name. I'm still not fully giving up on coming back tomorrow night. I'll shelve it and keep preaching. I've been torn like this for about 15 years because every place you go, you love the people and they're great and have great faith. But then there's more people, 8 billion to be exact, that need to hear the Bible because the Bible changes lives. Can you say amen? God's word changes lives. That's why I even started to take time at the beginning to tell you, I'm not trying to point you to me. If you're dependent upon my prayers, you're going to have a pretty rough life because there's just one me. Even Jesus I can't stay. People can't get to me and grab my clothes and stuff. There's just one me. So what was his plan to solve that? You think it's better if I stay, but it's actually better for you if I leave than if I stay. Because if I stay, I cannot send another. He is the Holy Spirit who is with you now, but later will be in you. And so there was a man named Samson. He hated the Philistines because they were oppressing God's people. So in the Old Testament, he gathered 300 foxes, tied their tails together, and lit their tails on fire, and set them into the crops of the Philistines, and burned down their harvest fields. The New Testament equivalent is God rounded up 120 people in an upper room, put fire on their heads, and said instead of there being one Jesus, there's going to be 120 that carry Christ. The 120 turned to 3,120. And it's been multiplying and expanding into Southern California. The wickedness of this world can never be greater than the Christ that's in you. The sickness and disease of this world can never be greater than the resurrection life of Christ that raised him up out of the grave. There is something on the inside of you that the devil doesn't have the capacity to stop. You're coming out of here free and with the victory tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then the lady wrote the picture that her son that had his legs straightened there at 2, now all these years later, I think he was 14, and he had a Bible and a shirt and tie on in church. See, miracles aren't separate from salvation. Or they're like, I don't get into miracles. I just love Jesus. He's a miracle working God. And it's not like an aspect of his life he's ashamed of. If you read the Bible, he's telling, tell your children about what I did. Tell them about how I parted the Red Sea. Tell them about how I fed you every day. I'm glad I grew up in a home with a mom and dad. My dad is awesome. My mother is awesome. My dad's a great preacher. My mother is a woman of God. They told me. We'd read those scriptures before bed. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Mom, when it says you can say to anything, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and it'll be. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. So you're telling me if I pray for this, God will answer. Yes, he will, son. Just like that. But people haven't had that. That's where I come in. So if you were raised in a home where you were told the opposite, you're not going to make it, things will never work out, life is hard, I'm coming by the anointing to reverse 30 years of the devil running his mouth to tell you, you are going to make it. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. You serve a prayer answering God. There's nothing the devil's done to you that God can't pick you up out of that pit and set your feet on the rock to stay. God's going to touch. So, let me tell you, God hasn't forgotten Los Angeles. God hasn't forgotten San Francisco. California will see a ground-shaking revival before the return of Christ. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. Yeah. When God straightens your wishbone legs into normal legs, your parents don't have to invite you to church. Or say, please come to church. He's there dressed in a shirt and tie. Look like a UPC presbyter. Shirt and tie, Bible, in church. 10 years later. Because he doesn't believe in miracles. He is a miracle. And you're going to leave here tonight, not just believing in miracles. You is a miracle. And that's going to be visible to everybody on the outside in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? So, same thing. That's why I knew. Started for the long story, but when that father left and then came back with his son, I thought the same thing then all those years later. I thought, well, I must have said something. He must be from another denomination, didn't like what I said, or thinks I'm too much on faith or something. But I was wrong. Comes back, holding the boy. And then I said, I know what you did. Come on up. So it's not even, see, I'm telling you this because if you go by whether you feel anointed, you know, I'm just training right now. Until what? Well, you're not a video game character. What do you think? You're going to wake up one morning, go to shave in the mirror, and a badge unlocks over your head? Miracle power unlocked. Level 11. Now you have the miracle badge. No? You know, I got a feeling after I leave here with you folks, you know, in my mind, I'm going to bolt right after I'm done preaching, but you're so nice, I'll probably end up standing and talking to everybody like I did last night and this morning. And so I'll get on the plane late, fly through the night, and you lose 3 hours. And I have a feeling when that plane lands and I come home at 8:30 in the morning and got church at 10, I can't even lay down for 10 minutes because, you know, if you lay down for 10 minutes, that's the devil tricking you. You're going to wake up in February with a beard. Honey, get my suit ready for church. We don't have a church anymore. You've been asleep for a month and a half. So, I got a feeling when I get home at 8:30, my flesh might not exactly feel like preaching or like I have anything to say of any value. That's why the Bible says we walk by and not by. We don't go by our physical feelings. There's times when I haven't had any sleep and I got to preach Sunday morning. The only message I feel like preaching on is hell with a smile on my face. You people are going to hell. And I'm going to sleep. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We go by what the word says. So sometimes people will ask you for prayer. You don't feel anointed. I could count probably less than 10 times in my life that I felt. Like if you read Oral Roberts' writings, old healing evangelist that's in heaven now. He said when he prayed, the way that gift would work on him is he'd feel the heat come on his right hand. And then he knew it was time to go out and pray for the sick. He laid hands on 9,000 people in one night. These guys worked hard. And so that's great to have that. But I don't have that gift as far as like my hand doesn't heat up. My hand feels normal. My hand feels the same as when I'm playing MLB The Show or Call of Duty. war zone, whatever. So you don't go by a feeling or let's pray and hope an angel. You don't have to do that. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. And Jesus said, these signs will follow everyone who believes. Well, you're included then. Everybody say, I'm a believer. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick not might recover, not can recover. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and the sick what? Shall recover. So anytime you lay your hands on someone that's sick, that's asking for prayer, obviously you can't just run around a bus station slapping people in the head. You'll go to jail unless you're faster than the cops. But when people come to you, excuse me, and a lot of times they won't even ask for prayer. I'm going to give you some help, because part of my assignment in being here these three services is not just for you to enjoy my services and get prayed for, but to get an impartation where now in whatever vein you're in business or government or sports or ministry, that you operate at another level. One person can do a lot of damage to the kingdom of hell in any sector. You know, there was one baseball team last year that had no gay pride night at all. Not even one. Does anybody know the team? Texas Rangers. Do you know why? Because Jacob deGrom, their star pitcher, is a Christian and had it written in his contract. I don't even think they knew it was in the contract. If you have a gay pride night while I'm a player, you have to release me and immediately pay out the full contract in cash. So one Christian dictated the whole thing that was done in the stadium, and then other people heard it and started to make the plan, and the MLB dropped it all over the month. So whether you're in sports, whether you're in ministry, whether you're in business, one person. I mean, what is the Bible? The Bible essentially, from beginning to end, is a story of the whole world losing its mind, a whole culture losing its mind, and one person. Isn't that encouraging? See, if you're in, I have friends in Southern California. I've got a room full of them tonight. A lot of people all over the world, and in Southern California in particular, they get discouraged. You know, I'm the only one. You know, there's no good churches here. Now, I'm the only one. If the devil starts getting you thinking like that, that's defeatist. And then secondly, even if you were the only one, Abraham was the only one. Isaac was the only one. There's greater is he that lives in you than every demon power that's in the world that's against you. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. I've heard people preach whole sermons on that. There's actually another part of the verse that's worth reading. I mean, you know, the Bible says in this world we'll have trouble. I know what type of person you are. You're a depressed person that cherry picks the Bible to be sad. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in the amplified in brackets, and overcome the world, it says, I have stripped it of its power to harm you whatsoever. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world and have stripped it of having any power to harm you whatsoever. I have overcome the spirit of this world. They can rage, they can run their mouth, but when it actually comes time to do it, now, you're watching this play out in real time. Because if you notice, for the last 8 years, the devil has set his sights heavy on this nation. Just now this week, Texas goes to close up the border. The Department of Justice federally says to open back up. Governor Abbott says we're not doing it. He sends Texas National Guard there to defy the order. And people are saying Biden's going to send Department of Justice. And let me tell you, I have a church in Texas. I know Texans, and I've watched Westerns. If you send a bunch of federal agents down there, some sheriff deputy with a lip full of skull is going to take this as the last stand. And if one gun goes off, lots of guns are going to go off. I'm sure that was the devil's plan. But what did you have happen now? All of the Border Patrol released a statement on their Twitter that they won't enforce anything that comes out of Washington, D.C., and they stand with Texas. The devil has been trying to push us to civil war. Do you know why Gavin Newsom wanted churches shut down? Because they want Hispanic people fighting against white people and black people fighting Hispanic people. But what happens when you have church? Look around the room. There's more diversity in this room than a McDonald's commercial. The devil doesn't want black people and Hispanic people and Asian people and Pacific Island people and white people under one roof, shaking hands, drinking coffee, praising the Lord, hugging each other. But the devil failed. I said the devil failed. We were never supposed to have a meeting like this again. But here we are gathered in a public hotel celebrating the victory of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Go ahead, take 20 seconds. Clap your hands. Give him a shout. Praise him on the instruments. The devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. Say four words with me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who does the devil think he is? When I was growing up in church, they said if the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Which is fine, but his past also is pretty lousy. Just been messing up and messing up and making a plan and messing up. Inspired that king to go kill Jesus after he was born. Missed him before he was born. Missed him when he was born. Angel comes and says to the wise man, hey, that guy wants to kill Jesus. So go home another way and don't talk to him anymore. I mean, just one angel. They seal Christ in a tomb. Seal him in a tomb and surround it with soldiers. Let me tell you something. If I was one of those soldiers and I said, can you tell me why we're guarding this place? This guy's supposed to come out of here. Okay, I'm taking my sick days right now. I didn't sign up for the military to do some Scooby-Doo assignment in a graveyard. Think how, I mean, just then you know you're dealing with somebody special, that they seal you in a tomb with a rock. Sealed in a tomb. You know what the word sealed means. The rock sealed it. So even if he rose from the dead, a man can't unseal a rock tomb. Then you put, as an extra layer of protection, SEAL Team 6 on the outside. If you see that, if that rock moves, I mean, think of what their instructions were. If you see that rock move, kill the guy again. I thought he was dead. Re-kill him. Again. I quit. We'll dishonorably discharge you. Then, good to know. Guess I'll be paying for my own college. I'm out of here. And on the third day, with a sealed tomb, there's a scholar that said, who's much smarter than me, he said that the resurrection, if you, I don't believe the Bible. The resurrection isn't just in the Bible. The resurrection is the greatest authenticated fact of ancient history. You can go to the tomb right now. People say, well, they're not sure which tomb it is. The Catholics think it's one tomb. The Protestants think it's another tomb. And then there's a third tomb that an archaeologist named Gordon thinks he was buried in that tomb called Gordon's tomb. Well, guess what? Two aren't full and one empty. All three are empty. He got up on the third day. And so you're not basing your faith on some like good feeling or piano music. Christ rose from, what did Paul say? Let me tell you, as I've told you before, there's still 500 people that have seen it. And you can ask them for yourself. He was buried, but on the third day, he rose from the dead and he never died again. And if he conquered death, anything you're facing is less than death. If he has power over death and he gave the keys of death, hell, and the grave to the church that is his body, then somebody tell me why you should lose one more battle. You cannot be defeated. You will not give up and quit. He that began a good work in you shall bring it to completion. Somebody shout, he's alive. Shout, my Jesus is alive. We used to sing that growing up in Pentecostal church. He's alive again. The stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. No longer where he lay. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the earth rejoice. He's alive. And then there's another song we'd sing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. These aren't historical things with no bearing on my life. He died for me. I said he died for me. He was raised for me. Hallelujah. He did that all for me. All the other religious leaders, try to hold it together. All the other religious leaders were trying to get to heaven. Buddha was trying to find a path to peace. Jesus is peace. He came from heaven. He wasn't trying to earn some rewards on earth. He's already the Most High. He did what he did. I have stripped the world of having power over you. He did it for me, not him. He doesn't have an insecurity problem. I really need people to see that I'm actually like very Most High. He's very confident in himself. Why did Jesus do what he did? Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that when Eve and Adam transgressed against God, that God gave the first messianic prophecy, Genesis 3:15, to the snake in the garden that was embodied by Satan. You have bruised his heel, but I will send another who will crush your head. And from that time, Satan got busy occupying the land that God said to that man, someone's going to get born of a woman and crush your head. Jesus is the head crusher of the devil. He crushed his head. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When that explodes in your spirit, something must shift in your eyes where a demon can tell you know that. Because if someone's demon possessed, I mean, I barely get the chance to get near him to go cast it out. Go walk over to cast it out. And then, because I think he can see. No, no, no. I know this is not a battle. I'm not one of those preachers. I mean, we're engaged in a battle. I'm not engaged in a battle. The battle has been won 2,000 years ago. I have the victory. I'm more than a conqueror because of what Jesus did. I know that. You can't get me to fear. Who? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord Jesus is the stronghold of my life. What can any man do to me? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds my future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Devil doesn't hold my future. The devil doesn't hold the future of California. I don't care if Joe Biden, Trump, and Nikki Haley and RFK Jr. all drop out of the race and Lucifer runs and he's the only candidate and they put him in. I'll have a better 2024 than I had in 2023 because my future is not determined by the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or the Green Party. My future is determined by Jesus Christ and his word. He said, I give you life. I give you health. I give you strength. I give you power over the devil. I give unto you power over sickness and disease. There's no legislation they can pass that can alter the word of God. Having said that, this year's not going to go in a bad direction. The righteous shall possess the land. The devil had 3 years to run roughshod over the country. His time's over. This is our time. The devil didn't get 3 years and we get a year and a half. We are going to run. See, meetings like this, you couldn't have this. 2 years ago, you couldn't have got 8 people to come here and then we would all been fined. And most people would have been masked. Even faith people would have faith over fear masks. I typed to a ministry on Twitter. I said, how are the faith over fear mask sales doing? You couldn't have had this. The devil's plan failed. And not only did it failed royally. Because actually, if COVID and those lockdowns and that overreach hadn't happened, there still would have only been probably about 90 people here. 60 people. I used to do meetings like this. I'd be thrilled if there was 60 people. This many. What happened? A bunch of you, and I'm not going to have you lift your hands, but if you were honest, a bunch of you would say, you know what? In 2018 and 19, I was a lukewarm Christian. Or some of you weren't Christians at all. You actually had unsaved people that had more spiritual discernment than some Christian leaders. I don't like that Fauci guy. He's a liar. I went to New Mexico. The church was packed. We were allowed to have 20 people in church. This is in 2020. Their governor was harsher than Newsom. You were only allowed 20 people, and they had to be masked, and it was a 600-seater. There were 880 people there. The police were there with no masks on, seated with Bibles. Oil guys, motorcycle guys. You know, we actually found the secret during COVID of getting people to come to church. Tell them they're not allowed to come to church. And remember, no one's going to tell me I can't come to church. Blank you, I'm going to church. That's what happened. That's how some of you got saved. That's what I'm going to do from now on. I'm going to disinvite people to my meetings. Don't come hear me preach by government order. No one's telling me I can't go to church. And those guys started coming. One guy that was on the police force. Living with a woman. Came and got saved, like really saved. People that wouldn't even come to church were all there. It backfired. A bunch of you, you weren't living for the Lord in 2018. You started bouncing around on YouTube. Something's wrong. There's a guy on my comments on YouTube during the lockdown. He said, I'm a Satanist. But so much is happening right now that my grandma talked about Bible prophecy. It's actually hard for me to continue being a Satanist. I think you're right. We prayed with them. They put us in a prison in Iowa. I was making fun of Fauci. I was making fun of everybody. And they wrote me a letter. They said, we didn't even know you were a Christian. And that's not the best compliment for your ministry. Not we didn't know you were a pastor. We didn't know you were a Christian. We didn't even know you were a Christian. And they said, we were all laughing in the prison. Are you making fun of all these government people? And they said, then at the end, you said, if anybody wants to receive Jesus Christ, you know, the world's coming to an end. You can see that. They said, and we all prayed. We all prayed with you. The whole prison. All the men's prison prayed for you. Come on. And then they said, then we started watching you on YouTube as a prison, as like the whole prison. And we've heard your teaching on giving. They said, we don't get much money. I know. Yes, that's why prison's not really the path for upward trajectory in careers. I'm going to study hard and do right. One day I'll be in prison. They said, we don't get much money. But we get, it was some little bit of money, 10 bucks. We get around $8 to $10 every 2 weeks. And they said, we all set aside 10% and want to help feed those kids. And it was a letter and it had cash in it because obviously there's no checking accounts or banks in the prison. They mailed $1 bills and $5 bills and quarters and stuff as the whole prison to help feed kids overseas. I'm telling you, when I got that letter, I thought the devil is a moron. Because anything he does fails. If we have peacetime like we're having now, then you have a ton of people come out. If there's war, if we went to war, you'd have to hold one service with this packed to the wall and have the other people wait outside and then finish at 10, give 45 minutes to clear the room and have the next group come in and start again and run services around the clock. That happened in World War I and World War II in England and the United States. So if there's peace, we'll have great meetings. If there's war, we'll have better meetings. The gospel works in every climate, every economy, every state, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. You have bruised his heel, but he shall crush your head. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the work of the devil. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest. He doesn't just put his arm around people and hugging them and having chats with them. He did that. He was a kind, is a kind Jesus. Lowly Jesus, gentle, meek, and mild. That's true. But there's also the other side to Jesus, where a man who was full of demons, when he saw him, he said, come out of the man. Where the demons screamed and said, son of, we know who you are. Have you come to destroy us before our time? In other words, if you want to, you can, but it's my understanding of Bible prophecy. We get a little bit of time. Please don't destroy us. Please don't cast us out. Let us go into those pigs. There's negotiation. No attack. That man that was full of demons didn't come up and slap Jesus, bowed and worshiped him. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody say power over the devil.
Power over the devil.
I won't have you yell stuff out all night. I'll do most of that myself. Let me have you say another thing. Say practical power over the devil. Yeah, Jesus didn't exercise his power over the devil by standing with banners and going like this. Sorry if I ruined your ministry, but I'm a visitor. I don't know who's here. How did he exercise his power over the devil? Well, it's summed up in one verse. Are you the Messiah, or should we look for another? Go and tell your master the things you see today. The blind see, the crippled walk, the lepers are cleansed, the blind see, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. He exercised his authority over the devil by healing the sick. If you guys would, grab a video for me. Get the Healing Jesus video from Dag Haywood Mills. I want to play it. I want to show you what dominion over the devil looks like. Like whole cities getting saved at once. The poor are having the gospel preached to them. The blind see. Jesus exercised and displayed his dominion over the devil by healing the sick, because sickness, indirectly or directly, comes from the devil. I know they won't teach you that. Sickness is a part of growing old. They need you to have like kind of a furry place for sickness in your life to sell you medicine. So you have to accept it. It runs in my family. It's a part of growing old. Your eyes dim with age. Your ears get... But those aren't scripture verses. Bible says, as your days are, so shall your... Not everyone at once. Did they do away with Sunday school in Southern California? As your days are, so shall your strength be. That's called strength in old age. I'm not going to get weak when I'm older. I was watching Kenneth Copeland do his minister's conference a couple weeks ago. He spoke it himself. No stool. They didn't help him up there like certain political candidates that are facing the back of the stage. There's another people are over there. They didn't do any of that. Sharp mind, new messages. Everybody say, my mind will be sharp in old age. Yeah. Your legs will work. Your eyes will see. Moses, though he was 120 years old, his eyes were not dim and his strength was not abated. Then the Bible says, this is the inheritance of all that serve the Lord. He doesn't just heal you when you get sick. He gives you strength. As your days are, so shall your strength be. Lift your hands all over this place. There's a new strength coming on your body. This is the first month of a new year. But God is pouring strength into your body to run. To run. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their... They'll mount up with wings as eagles. That's what I'm going to do tonight. They will run and never grow weary. You're going to run and never grow weary. Somebody shout strength. Make sure it's the Dag Haywood Mills video that has the broken and beautiful song. Not the other one. The one I like a lot. Can you say amen? Amen. So, Jesus exercised his dominion over the devil by setting people free from sickness and disease. You're never going to pray for people that are sick correctly until you realize it's of the devil. How do you know it's of the devil? Number one, were there any children's hospitals in the Garden of Eden? You can answer. They're not trick questions. Were there any children's hospitals in the Garden of Eden?
No.
Will there be any pediatric cancer wards in the New Jerusalem?
No.
Sickness came on the scene when the devil came on the scene. I'll take it further. Job chapter 2, verse 7. Who made Job sick? Then Satan went forth. Man, what about Job? Funny how the devil, it's like the only person he wants you to know about in the whole Bible is Job. And even if you read Job, did Job stay sick or get healed at the end? That's right, lived another 140 years. So that's what about Job. Just for somebody that's probably typed that online in all caps. What about Job? You're a false prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. You're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Then Satan went forth from the presence of God and smote Job with boils. Luke 13. There was a woman in the temple who had been bent double by an evil spirit. When Jesus saw her and knew how long she had been this way, he went over and touched her and she stood straight up. Oh, how she praised God. Luke 13. She'd been bent double for 18 years. When the leader of the synagogue saw it, he became indignant. For some reason, there's something in the spirit of religion that hates miracles. from the time. It was not a collection of hookers and drug cartel members that put Jesus on the cross. It was religious leaders that actually all hated each other, but the one thing they could unite on, they did not like his miracle ministry. In fact, if you read John chapter 12, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he's having a banquet, and Lazarus is there, and the Bible says the religious leader said, now we'll have to kill Lazarus too, because of that miracle, all the people are going to him. I'm only here for 2 days, but if I was here longer and this place continued to pack out, there'd be people like that here. He didn't come through us. Who gave him permission to have that meeting? Sheraton did. That's the denomination I belong to this weekend. I'm licensed with Gateway Sheraton at LAX. Amen. So Jesus, they kicked him out of every temple. And then, if you remember when he healed the man that was blind in John chapter 9, they asked his parents, is this your son? They said, he's old enough. Let him answer. Because word had gone out that anyone claiming Jesus was the Messiah would be thrown out of the temple. So they wouldn't even back their own son. But what people don't understand, hallelujah. People, not you, you understand, you're great people. But what people don't understand is when you're anointed, they can kick you out of everywhere. The anointing attracts people. The anointing attracts wealth. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I'm going to preach in the morning in Pittsburgh on compromise, a message I've never preached before. I know they say evangelists only have 6 sermons, but now I have 7. It's going to be on compromise. And when you're not afraid, see, when you understand who you are in God, it completely removes any fear of man, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm going to tell you, if you're living righteous, that's why the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Well, you found out why the wicked run when no man pursueth. My wife's training for a half marathon, and she always says, will you go running with me? And that's the scripture I quote her. The Bible says the wicked run when no man pursueth. I'm righteous. I'm not running unless somebody's running after me. Amen. That's called eisegesis. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But everybody say with me, the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, a lot of Christian leaders disappointed their people. They said, how come they didn't stand up against the government when this stuff was going on? Don't they know? What'd you find out as time went on? You're not going to take a stand against the government if you got a mistress. We don't really need anybody shining a light over here. We're going to shut the thing down. It didn't have anything to do with COVID. If you're not living clean, you have to run afraid your whole life, because you got to make sure something doesn't come out. And I would say, because now I'm certain, for even though I've done everything in my power not to, I'm certain to have a lot of friends that are in politics that have come out and sought me out. If you have messed up, don't let anybody hold anything over your head. Come, what do you do? What do you do? What does the Bible say to do if you've messed up? Confess, come clean. Listen, 7 years ago, this is me doing an example. Please don't isolate this clip. You know, if I were you, whoever's watching, I would just say, listen, 7 years ago, I had an affair on my wife. I was wrong. I've apologized to her. We've worked it out. I apologize to you. If you don't forgive me, I completely understand, but I'm getting that out there. And say it so some group of people can't hang something over your head the rest of your life. Because once God's forgiven you, you're forgiven. Can you say amen? And if you're going to be bold, you have to have righteousness. Lift your hands all over this place. Receive a grace to walk in righteousness, in victory over sin, all the days of your life. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. Yeah. You have an alcohol problem and you're a pastor and your money's crooked, you haven't filed paperwork, then you're not going to take a stand against the government. So you have to be righteous and not have any skeletons in your closet to be bold. That's why Jesus, they told him, hey, listen, just so you know, the government and all the religious leaders are grouping up to kill you. What did Jesus say? The prince of this world is coming for me, but he can't touch me because he has nothing in me. If you shut sin out of your life, you close the door on every entrance point that the enemy has to your life. I see every open door that the devil's exploited being closed tight tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead and do what you're already doing. Take 15 seconds. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Somebody shout hallelujah. So you live righteous, you can stand. I got to be kind of vague because everything's not settled yet. But when the Lord, some of you know the testimony, how the Lord gave us a church. I don't mean gave us a loan for a church. I mean gave us a $5.7 million building for free. And then we were having meetings in it. We started with 260 people and we hit 771 in April. We started in January, April, we were at 771. And there's only, you could only fit 500 people in there. So one of the churches down the street that had a rainbow flag and one of their deacons is on the city council took pictures of how many people were coming into our church and turned us into the city. And so they called and said, if you have church there, they're gonna padlock you out and you could be arrested. Well, number one, something happened. It would say what the devil means for bad, God takes and turns it to good. The devil meant COVID to break you and those lockdowns to break you, but it actually produced a very strong version of you. Because there's a lot of people in this room, there's nothing left the devil has to throw at you. You had loss of job hanging over your head for 2 years. You had your family ban you from Christmas and tell you you're not allowed unless you take a COVID test in the garage and wait there till it comes back. And you said, no, I'll just send you a card. I'm not doing that. You've had the devil manipulate every possible thing there is. And yet here you are, stronger than you've ever been before. That's why I'm not preaching a weak message tonight. I'm preaching more strength into you. Thank God for the strength you have. But you're going to leave here doubly strong tonight. You're going to make the devil sorry he didn't kill you when he had the chance. Somebody say, I have the victory. Well, you know, what that local city council didn't know, I'm immune to being threatened to be arrested. I never stopped preaching out. I know people say, we never shut our ministry out. Yeah, you went online and told people waffle recipes. Hey, during lockdown, here's a fun recipe you can make. Yeah, I'm a preacher. I'm not Gordon Ramsay. I'm preaching. And if you're watching Brother Gordon, I love you. I had to use somebody as an example. So I went to I kept preaching out. Calling pastors before I can, because they'd book the meeting. No, we want to stand. Then as they started getting pressure on the lead up to the meeting, they'd start putting stuff on the website. You have to register. You have to wear a mask. I called one pastor. I said, you better get that off the website or I'm not coming. I'm not wearing a mask. I didn't get braces for 7 freaking years to put a mask on. I'm not over it. A long time to wear braces. I'm proud of my teeth. And Dr. Fauci, and I'm not saying anything about Dr. Fauci I wouldn't say to his face. If he was here, I'd say, I'm not wearing a mask. Can you say amen? Yeah, you can go. You're fine. You have kids. I get it. So he'd call. Then I went to one church. They had blue tape every other row because COVID travels in an exact 6-foot radius. And it only travels at head level. So when you walk to your restaurant table, you need to put a mask on. But once you sit down, you're clear. Thank God they put those directional arrows in the Albertsons. Who knows how many thousands of lives that saved to have everyone walking in the same direction. I remember the one church I was preaching at, they had it taped off blue. Everybody's in masks. And I just preached. I didn't even mention it. And then I watched as faith would flood the room. I never said one word about masks, never mocked anybody for wearing them. On the inside, I was mocking them. But I didn't say anything outwardly to mock them. And as I'm preaching it, you just watched all over the congregation, people start going like this. And then there's one guy, I'll never forget this the rest of my life. He looked like he's about 65. He had his wife sit next to him. He went like this. Then he reached over to his wife without even looking at him like that. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
See, when you hear faith, you start acting different.
Yeah.
Things you were bound by fear of. So then when I saw that start happening, I'd go every other row where there's like the blue thing. And I played hockey, you know. I'd throw my hip into it like Shakira. Break the tape. Break the next tape. break the next tape, go down the next row, break all the tape with my hip while I'm preaching. And then that place go from every other row 6 feet apart to then more people start coming. See, that's what the government didn't understand. Or no, actually, they do understand. We're not saying you can't have church. We're just saying you can't have more than 20 people. You can't have a 20-person revival. You could start like Paul did with 12 people in Ephesus. But as you preach and demonstrate and get people baptized in the Holy Ghost, people come back. You know, if you put a tent up in the, like Brother Shambach would do, and a woman gets healed of stage 4 cancer and pukes all the cancer out of her stomach and is completely healthy and eats solid food for the first time. And then it turns out her son is the head of the Latin Kings gang. And his mother comes home healthy and eats a full meal. And he says, Mom, how are you able to do that? Oh, I went to go hear a preacher under a tent and he prayed for me and I puked all the cancer up and I'm healed. Then the next night, he's there and all his men are with him, because if the leader of the gang says to go to church, you go to church. Then they all get saved and the meeting starts to grow. You can't have a small, socially distanced, mass revival. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. And the temple was full, and crowds came to hear and be healed. Every pastor that's here, your church is going to pack out this year. Every pastor that's here, your church is going to pack out this year. Because it's our time now. I said it's our time now. Hey. So, you know, most weeks I got a call somewhere through the meeting. Hey, Department of Health is thinking of coming by. I had a lawyer. Come by. You're going to get a lesson on private property. I'm not an HBO miniseries preacher. I'm a Holy Ghost preacher. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Can you say better amen? Amen. So he stood that down. Now you do that for 2 years. You build up a little bit of a strength in your spirit. I started to realize why Lester Sumrall, after preaching in the Philippines and China, when he came to South Bend, Indiana, and the mayor said, we're not going to give you a permit to build on your land, went in without an appointment to the mayor's office, sat on the corner of his desk facing him, and said, if you don't give me that permit in 15 minutes, I know 72 people signed a petition saying that our land is the home of the squirrels. He said, now you listen to me. His son told me. He was there. I have 1,000 families in my church. I'll give every one of them a sign and have them march downtown until you wish you weren't a dog catcher. I said, what happened? He said he had the permit in 11 minutes. Why? Because he preached in the Soviet Union. He preached in China. He had been dealing with that shutdown. Let me tell you, the shutdown, the church devil of certain provinces in China and certain provinces and parts of the Philippines and the Middle East. There's no Middle East devil. There's no China devil. There's just a devil. And if you let him, he wants the church shut down. The reason we haven't had to deal with that here is because strong men put their tents up and preached and won the lost. And it's going to be a cold day in hell when I let all that progress get flushed down the toilet in my generation. I'm thankful that God's got people in California that will not bow their knee to Baal, will not kiss his face, and are going to be used. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to have you shout something else. Shout boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion. When you live sin free, you don't have to be afraid of anyone because the Lord's on your side. Can I tell you something? The world is going to find out the next 11 and a half months of this year, God is on your side. You are on the side of the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? Say, I'm on the Lord's side. So they said, if you come next Sunday, I made up my mind during COVID. And when I make up my mind, it's made up. I will never, now I'm not gonna run red lights and not file my taxes. I don't mean that. But if there's ever any law in any way prohibiting what I feel to do, I don't even Sunday worship. They're not asking you, bro, not to have church, just asking you to meet at home. I don't want to meet at home. I don't meet at home. Home's where I go not to meet. There were people, our church grew so fast, there were people saying, he's a cult leader. Cult leader, you think I want people staying in my house in bunk beds? I didn't even go to sleepovers when I was a kid. I hate being around people in a home that I'm not family with. I'm not saying my doctrine's perfect. I'm just saying I don't like staying with people. So you don't have to worry about it being a cult. You're allowed to go home at the end of the service. You're not allowed to go home with me at the end of the service. So they said, well, if you have church next Sunday, they're going to padlock the door and you could be arrested. Okay, I've already crossed this bridge. I've been going through this for 2 years. So you think I care? I don't care. I grew a mullet. I grew a mullet and preached with a mullet for 2 years to get a prison haircut in advance for when they took me in. Because if you're going to take me to prison, I'm not coming in with my hair parted on the side. Hello, are you my cellmate? Nice to meet you. Do you know where I could get a shank? Hello, I'm Reverend Shuttlesworth. Are you top bunk, bottom bunk? Where's the toilet seat? No, I wanted to look like I got transferred in. Amen. Hallelujah. I was this close to starting to preach with like a red bandana tied around my head and a belt of bullets across my chest like a Mexican hero in a movie. If you have church next week, first of all, I learned something. If I'm doing something illegal, you know, when they pull you over for speeding, they don't say, if you keep speeding, we're gonna give you a ticket next week. They give you a ticket right then. So just the fact that you said, if you're still here next week, shows me you're bluffing. You don't have no power. No, if it's illegal, arrest me now. Well, no, you won't do it. You weak. I smell weakness. My Uncle Terry was preaching in Virginia Beach. I don't know how we all did this. Our whole family stayed open and none of us talked to each other. We just all did the same thing. So they called the police come in Virginia Beach. Virginia was a lockdown state. The police come, three of them or four of them, they asked to speak with the pastor. My Uncle Terry does not look like me. He's a power lifter. I haven't talked to him about it, but I think I know what he decided. He decided one day, I'm not dieting anymore. I'm just going to give the calories a place to go. And he started bench pressing ridiculous amounts of weight. He's huge. Huge. Big chest, big arms. Look, we need to speak with the pastor. They think some like Mr. Rogers looking guy's coming out. My Uncle Terry comes out, full suit and tie with big chest, drinking an espresso in a little Italian cup. Goes, can I help you guys? You should see it. He has it on video. They're all like, no, normally it's the criminal that's like talking all the time. The cops are talking like, you can't have a meeting. You know, this is not our call. We don't want to do this, but we're going to have to do it. As a biscotti. So they said, we're going to give you one more week. But if you're here next week, we're going to have to shut you down. My uncle said, church is at 10 o'clock. Then he looked at all of them because they're all littler than him. Make sure you bring more than two squad cars. And left. They never came back. Any tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn. The devil, can I tell you something? You're going to learn something about the devil. He's a big talker and a bad fighter. He wants to back you down with his words. But if you call his bluff, he doesn't have the capacity to do what he said he's going to do. He's not going to take you down. You're taking him down. You're not going to die. You're going to live. I said, you're going to live. You're going to multiply. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. You know what my Uncle Terry did for a bunch of the lockdown? He held an outdoor service. It was a fake service. It was a pretend outdoor service. So the cops thought they're having outdoor service and the whole place is packed inside. Yeah, it does. You know, it's not the worst thing to watch The Godfather Godfather 2, learn a couple of tricks. Amen. You don't have to be a dummy. Well, good, they listen. They're having church outside. No, if you look, it's all mannequins from JCPenney. Look at those people, frozen in the Holy Ghost. The devil has never been that bright. Why would you allow him to get you to think he's got a chance to take you out? Sickness comes from the devil. Depression comes from the devil. Suicide comes from the devil. All these afflictions that people are facing, they come from the devil. But I came with good news in California. You don't have to pray about it. Jesus already destroyed all the work of the devil. And if you call on him, he will. Come on, I don't hear anybody in here. If you call on him, he will answer you. I'll pick you up out of the pit. Hey, the shout of the Lord is in the camp. Come on, make a joyful noise. Let the devil know you know. He's not over your head. He's not eye to eye. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. There's a new California. There's a new California. The devil's getting his sorry rear end thrown back out of California this year in Jesus' mighty name. Can I hear the rest of the pastor's testimony? The first part got me excited. You can play from the beginning if you want. What kind of suit jacket is that?
Hi, my name is Cal Hicks. I just wanted to testify about a major breakthrough that we had in our family. My son Caleb was put on an autism spectrum when he was about 3 years old. And my wife and I attended a revival last May. And I felt impressed of the Lord to go get him out of kids' church and bring him forward for prayer. Pastor Jonathan laid hands on him, spoke right into not only my life, but into my son's life. I didn't have any conversation with him whatsoever. He spoke directly to the need, commanded my son to be healed. We saw a change almost immediately. But then over the course of the next several weeks, the Lord spoke to our heart not to take any more state aid. We were getting financial aid from the state because he had been placed on the autism spectrum. But we stepped out in faith, and I felt impressed. The Lord said, either you trust me completely or not at all. And so we stepped out, and from that time forward, we just seen him break through ceiling after ceiling, all the limitations that they had placed on him because of the diagnosis. One of the most notable ones was about a month later, I heard the vacuum cleaner start up. Normally when the vacuum cleaner's running, my son will run for the back office, our back bedroom, and close the door until we're done. I poked my head around the corner to find out why my other son was playing with the vacuum cleaner, and it turned out that it was Caleb. Not only was he playing with the vacuum cleaner, but he's given it a name, Vonnie the Vacuum. And I just wanted to share that with anybody.
In case you missed the first part, why is it a big deal he's playing with the vacuum? Autism spectrum. If he hears loud noises, anytime they turn the vacuum on, he'd scream at the top of his lungs and go run in the room. Then they hear the vacuum, and it's him playing with it and talking to it. The thing that had him in terror, now he was dominating. That's what Jesus does. Play the rest.
Out there who is struggling with a diagnosis that they do not have the last word. No, God will have the last word.
That's right.
If you put your faith and your trust in him. God bless you.
Come on, give Jesus a great hand clap. Somebody say, power over the devil. You know, it's one thing to try to not do drugs anymore. It's another thing when God strips the taste for drugs out of your mouth. The same God that heals sickness and disease will destroy the love for sin out of you. It's hard to stay faithful to your wife when you're bound by lust for other women. But if God takes that away and you have the same desire to do what you used to do as you do to have your friend move from their apartment to another apartment and help them, Imagine that. Imagine if God made you feel about sin the way you feel about helping someone move. Hey, you want to help me? I think I have something to do. What do you have to do? I got to check with my wife. I think I promised I'd take her to the ballet. What if you felt that way about sin? Hard to not drink when you love drinking. Hard to not fight when you love fighting. Believe me, I know. But if the Lord takes that, you know, my dad is like the calmest Shuttlesworth, right? Which isn't saying much. It's like being the valedictorian of summer school. But out of all the Shuttlesworths, he's the calmest. You know, he used to have a violent temper. And he knocked a guy out in Bible college and was going to get dismissed. And he got convicted and told the Lord, he said, please take this temper from me. And he said, I've never lost my temper again. And I grew up in the house with him. He never lost his temper. I tried to get him to lose his temper. Now, he paddled me, but he did it very calmly, very methodically. In fact, if I made my dad mad enough, he'd wait a day to paddle me. Never did it in anger. Last time he paddled me, I think I was 31. But I was kind of mouthing off, and I deserved it. Tonight is a night that God's not only going to remove sickness and disease, he's going to remove the sin that so easily beset you. Sin and sickness are running buddies. Who forgives all my sin and heals all my disease. The devil comes with sin and sickness, and Jesus comes with righteousness and healing. The Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Amen. Amen. Say with me, there's nothing the devil's done to me that God can't do something about it. I'm not picking on you because you're sitting in the back or anything. I can feel your faith like I felt the faith of that lady that went to get her son. Let me pray for you real quick. You mind if I pray for you? If you need help up, somebody will help you up. God's going to heal your body. In fact, I know in my spirit, as I get close to you, you were planning on leaving about 40 minutes ago because it hurts to sit for a long time and stuff. And when you went to leave, you felt in your spirit, no, stay. Put your hands where your kidneys and pancreas are. Any cancer in your body, I curse it in the name of Jesus. Come out. Every unclean cell in your blood, be healed. That's it. Now, I commend your body to be strengthened. I commend you to be able to eat what you want and keep the food down. In Jesus' name. That's it. Go right into you. More. I commend you to get your strength back. That's it. Be strong. You're not going to die. Too pretty to die. You're going to live. The Bible says, with long life will I satisfy you. Every thought of death from the devil about you, this might be it. I'm telling you, it ain't. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. There's a man from Ghana that I've become friends with in the last 2 years. And I went with him to Angola and watched a whole town get saved. And he's been doing this for 20 years. He just texted me early this week. He said, come to Liberia with me in March. I checked. That's the only week I have open. So I'm coming. I'm going to try to get a Dallas to come with me. I get a front row seat for the greatest evangelistic ministry on the face of the earth. I want to show it to you because that's that American health and wealth gospel. No, you're just kind of stupid. You're like a stupid person that talks too much and should be thankful I'm saved. Because it works all over the world. When you start preaching this and you start seeing people start stacking wheelchairs in a corner and just start, you know, you're not supposed to say stuff like this in 2024. But Africans are cool people. Because they don't even make a big deal of it. It's just like they listen, believe it. Well, not using you anymore. And start dancing. I want you to watch this. Just because it's awesome. You see two testimonies from here in America. Here's a bunch more. God is moving by His Spirit, moving over all the earth. Signs and wonders when He moves. Move, O Lord, in me. God is moving by His Spirit, moving over all the earth. This gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth as a witness, and then the end shall come. See, if you read the Bible and just instead of asking God to bless what you're doing, just figure out what He's doing and then just get in the flow. Oh, you want the gospel preached to the ends of the earth? All right. Then I'm going to get in that airplane. I'm going to go Pittsburgh, Fort Worth, Phoenix, Reno, San Diego, L.A., Pittsburgh in the morning. You want the gospel? Then I'm just going to, I'll pour my whole life out preaching the gospel. And then as you do, it's like, how much time have I spent in these times trying to get money or anything? Somebody handed me $20,000 worth of gold on my way out of the, I was trying to go to my room. Excuse me, I'd like to give this to you. It's almost like the Lord said, it's like, hey, keep going. I got you. That'll gas that plane up one time. I know it gets quiet. People don't want me to be broke or whatever, but the money's good. It's hard. They don't take Twizzlers for this place. You can't once, twice, three shoot them for this place. Paper, rock, scissors. Shoot. You have to have money. The sound's money. Everything's money. So then the Lord provides the money. It's just do what He wants you to do. Say what He wants you to say. Go where He wants you to go. Now, my thing's preaching. Some of you, your thing's preaching. But everybody has their part to play in the Great Commission. Amen. You look different. Lift your hands. You don't even have to stand up. Here comes a second wave. All the joy the devil tried to suck out of you. One appointment after another, waiting room, after more paperwork, after finding out whether the insurance is going to cover it. The Lord gives you a wave of joy from heaven. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I think Abraham went to get me food for the plane ride home. Because I like to eat when I'm bored. If somebody could have something set up at the table, any pastor that's here that wants to help, I'm not going to split your church or anything. Any pastor that wants to help with, instead of doing it this coming week, let's put a little planning in it and let's do a crusade. And see what God does in California. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody. I'll tell you directly, I'm worse than a lot of people. The guy I'm going to play a video, Dag Haywood Mills, I'm worse than him. I'm not equal to him. He's a much better preacher than me, much better at everything. But I will say, they waste a lot of time in America filling stadiums up praying for revival. Oh, Lord, we repent. I already repented. I've repented. I'm saved. Revival doesn't come by packing a stadium full to listen to worship music and repent. Revival comes. What did Paul do? Did Paul go to Ephesus and round everybody up and tell them to repent? You know, let's all just repent. No, there weren't even any Christians there. He went and preached and demonstrated the power of God and laid hands on people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Billy Graham didn't fill stadiums getting people, now we need, oh Lord, send revival. He preached simple messages on John 3:16, and it shook cities, shook New York for 9 weeks till they had to move it to Yankee Stadium. Preach the gospel. Billy Graham wasn't standing in stadiums. We tear down the stronghold that's over New York. We tear you down. When you preach, you become the stronghold. The devil's under your feet. He's not over your head. I said he's under your feet. He's not over your head. Let's freaking rock it. Let's rock. Let's rock it. Let's give the devil a broken jaw. Punch in the mouth. Kick to the head. Mexicans getting saved. White people getting saved. Black people getting saved. All people. Asian or Fiji. Fiji. Hawaiian. Salvation. Ghana. Nigeria. The whole world's here. China. Tell the world, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I'm going to leave it. I promise I'll dismiss in a few minutes and leave. No one has a further trip home than me, which isn't your fault, so it shouldn't be held against you. I'm just saying, I know what time it is. I know most of you go to churches where it's over when it starts. First words out of the preacher's mouth is an apology that he has to, let me just read a scripture real quick. I know I've already been here. I'm just going to be a couple more. I didn't fly here to give three keys to time management. The power of saying no. I want to tell everybody that's here that's in the ministry, start preaching the Bible. When did the Bible get old to you? If I want a TED talk, I'll listen to a TED talk on YouTube. I want to hear about faith. I want to hear about resurrection life. I want to hear about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I want to hear about the soon coming of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the Bible. Billy Graham quoted minimum 70 scriptures every night he stood up to preach. In that North Carolina accent, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags in the sight of God. The Bible says, oh, boom, 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 boom. Then they cut to the crowd. Everybody's crying. He's not saying anything sad. Because he's not impacting them in their head. They're impacting their heart. And their hearts were pricked. Anybody ever see my wife, Adalis? I'm going to go see her in the morning. Give her a kiss on the lips. Last time I went home, I went to kiss her. She gave me her cheek. I said, you're not my aunt. Square up to me. This marriage is not going to turn into that. I'm not calling you mama. You want to know how Dallas is fit? You want to know why I want a Dallas, even though nobody went to church? When she started dating an evangelist, why her family, I was thinking they're going to be like, what are you doing? You know, the kid, I had like a piece of garbage car. Couldn't even get it registered. I was thinking her family's going to be like, don't marry this guy. They don't even go to church. Now you're going to go into the ministry and marry this guy. He doesn't even have a job or anything. Instead, I go there. They sit me at the head of the table, gave me a double portion of food. I felt like I was in the Old Testament. What's going on? The dad got up and gave me a seat. I said to the Adonis when we were going home, I said, why is your family so nice to me? My family doesn't do that. She said, oh, because they found out you're an evangelist. I said, well, that's not an answer to the question. Normally when people find out you're an evangelist, they hate you more. What do you do for work? I told Adonis when I was flying commercial, people ask me what I do for work. I'm just going to start telling them I'm an assassin. I would get a better reaction. What do you do for work? I'm an evangelist. Oh. Like, turn their back to you. So I tell them I'm an evangelist. She said, oh, my brother, when he was 3 years old at Christmas time, we hit a pothole in the Bronx. The back door flew open, and he was bounced out of the car and hit his head. Started telling the story last night. They took him to the hospital in New York. They were living in the Bronx at the time, put him on life support, swelling on the brain, full feeding tube.